America and all of our listeners all around the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sammons and Chris Logie. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. All righty. Yeah, so this week's episode is going to be for June 12th, 2021. We are sort of in the middle of the process of thinking if we're going to just start recording these shows mostly on Saturday or not. We got some scheduling things to work out, but we'll figure it out. So anyway, stay tuned on that front because things are going to get real crazy. especially considering that E3 is this week and we're probably going to be... well, you know that feeling that happens when you like maybe... accidentally, like, I don't know, you're in the hospital and you just trod out a bunch of blood for a blood sample and you're starting to feel kind of loopy. Yeah, that's probably how we're going to be after E3.
Yeah.
That's how we usually are after E3. Unless it's particularly uneventful, which that does not seem to be the case this year. There's a lot of major shit that's coming, that's being put out this year, and there was already some pretty major stuff that made its debut for the Summer Games Fest this week. And, of course, we'll be talking about all that on the Day Zero update. Because there's one particular game that finally got revealed after just years of silence. And I'm happy as a little clam about it. But, yeah, so amongst other things that happened this week, we got more political shenanigans. Joe Manchin is still a prick. And it's starting to look like we finally realize why he's such a prick. It's because he is basically in deep with the dark money. Also, we found out that a bunch of the Dems really are spineless weasels because they decided to release a unified statement against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar about U.S. war crimes, which, and then there's all this bullshit about quote-unquote critical race theory. We'll be talking more about that because it's another one of those moral scares, one of those moral panics like cultural Marxism or whatever. It's bullshit, basically. And if you actually ask anybody what it means, they won't freaking tell you because they don't know. All they know is that the person on the TV told them it was bad. By the way, that's a preview of what Brandon's random factoid is going to be this week. Yeah. But it wasn't all bad. We also had Heroes of the Week. And, of course, there was some other stuff that happened this week, too. We got a bunch of shit from Netflix because they had their Geek Week streams this week. Plus the stream they had on Friday. So we know some of the stuff that's coming from there. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, Louis Gohmert is still a friggin' moron. And one country became the first country, at least in the Western Hemisphere, to make Bitcoin a legal tender, at least within their country, which is going to have some effects, I'm sure. All this and more on this week's epidemic edition of Let's Weekend. So, with that out of the way, let's start us off as we always do, talking about what we've been up to this week. Teresa, you start us off. What have you been up to this week?
Well, we finally finished the original Dragon Ball series, and we watched one of the movies, so we have been formally introduced to Gohan, which, of course, you know, we all knew he was there anyway. So that's pretty cool. We are not watching anything nightly right now. at bedtime, we'll pick it up, but we're going to take like a little itty bitty break. So I started watching Breaking Bad. And
oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, right. Nobody else is watching with me. It's slow.
Yeah. I mean, anybody will. Yeah. That first season is. Well, I mean, you know, the show was just getting started. So, you know, the writer and the producers were still kind of feeling out how they were going to do this. The show really does pick up after a couple of episodes, though.
Yeah.
Is this your first time watching it, Teresa?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
it picks up steam
as you go, as you learn more about what's going on and see how things progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the brother-in-law thing being in like the DEA or something is going to have
Yes, it does. It has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, they're not hiding the foreshadowing at all.
Laid on pretty thick.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I had always heard about what is Jesse, the other guy? I can't remember his last name. And I never imagined that he was a former student. So that is an interesting relationship dynamic. So yeah, I'll be watching a lot more of that probably really soon, because Tuesday I get to go get my gallbladder removed with a robot. So they're going to stick a robot in next to my belly button and pull the offending organ out.
Well.
And as a result, I'm paying a shit ton of money left and right. And I have insurance, you guys. I have insurance. But today I had to pay like $180 some odd that I owe to the medical group that I belong to for the different tests and whatnot. Oh, and that's not going to include whatever I have to pay for the EKG that they made me take the other day.
Yeah, that's every time they hit the switch on that thing, it's like a grand up front.
Yeah, so that one I don't have the bill for yet, but it will arrive. Don't worry.
And they will, and believe me, the hospital will fucking send debt collectors after your ass. So
they won't have to. I'll just pay it. But the one thing that I won't have to pay for is the COVID test that they made me take this morning, even though I am vaccinated. And guess who's in quarantine? So from when I got home at like 9:45 this morning until I go into the hospital for the procedure Tuesday, I can't go anywhere.
Oh.
I'm not really thrilled about that.
Huh.
I don't like losing a weekend in the summer, but I also don't like throwing up after many meals, so we'll just take care of it. And then when I pre-registered for the surgery itself, they're like, your estimated payment is like $1,300, and they wouldn't let me finish the pre-registration until I gave them a credit card number. And I was like, wow, that's some interesting strong army. They did have an option for call an associate or pay in cash or with check in person, but those options didn't seem great. So I've also been playing a good bit of Kingdom Two Crowns, and they came out with a new expansion for it, the Trade Routes co-op play. And we saw the credits, and I got to see my name in there as a game breaker, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been playing some PSO2 NGS, the new deal there. And that is different. That is different. Pat at first said, it feels like Breath of the Wild. And I'm like, nah, it feels like Monster Hunter World. And then 2 hours later, no, Pat, I was texting him. I'm like, you're right. It feels very much like some sort of weird online hybridization of Breath of the Wild. So it's pretty cool so far. It took forever to download because it was like a 96 gig thing. And I toyed with the idea of putting it on the computer and just playing it there. And I'm like, you know what? No, I have a little bit of space on the external hard drive for the Xbox. So there it sits, and there I'll play it. And no, it's not going to be in 4K or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like I'm playing it on an Xbox. So what do you do? Other than that, I ended up getting a different job this week. So that was really fast, furious. Yeah. It all happened very quickly. Mm-hmm. And at some point I need to go do a drug test, and I only have like 3 days to do it because, you know, the nature of a drug test, I understand that. And I'm like, dudes, when do you want me to do this? Because I'm in isolation, because I got to go have surgery. So we're kind of working that one out. But it is 100% remote. It is not for the same company that I've been working for recently. It is with a team of tech writers, so there will be much better distribution of workload, which I'm sure you guys have heard me being not super thrilled about having to work overtime, although the money was good. But that work-life balance thing, you know, that's for real. That's for real. So I'll be there for probably at least 6 months. She said that the project is going to take more like 3 years to finish. So I don't know how long they'll need me for, but we'll find out. But I really like the 100% remote thing. So whereas the place that I'm working now had it gone on much longer or shifted in nature away from contract to something else, I would have been going in, you know, part of the week, not all of the week. So the landscape for office workers is changing quite a bit. It's interesting to watch this roll along. So yeah, in July I'll have a new little place to hang out at, I guess. Yeah. 9 to 5. So that's a lot, but not a lot. But that's all for me. What about you, Chris?
This week has been a clusterfuck of sorts. Weather-wise, it's been that kind of awful week where it's hot, but it's also raining off and on.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be just a humid mess
at the same time. Oh, yeah.
I think Monday particularly is when I had the hardest hit, where I got to work like right after a storm went through.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like about 70, 72, something like that. Then the sun came out and pushed it up to 82 pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It just became a huge sweaty mess. Then it rained again.
Not
much, but enough where I had to put on a jacket. And so all that heat just kind of led to me just feeling like my energy got zapped.
Oh, yeah.
I was just kind of not tired, but just like I could still do my work and all that, but it was kind of a weird feeling of being like, I don't have the pep that I had like coming into work.
Yeah.
As I did at the end.
Maybe kind of a mental malaise as well.
Kind of. But yeah, that was kind of the worst kind of fun. I was like feeling like, am I dehydrated? Or having some sort of heat thing going on? It's like, probably. Like, I was drinking a lot of water, but it probably wasn't enough even then. Just the unique circumstances of that. But yeah, just working a lot during the week and just being a sweaty mess by the end. Just like,
yeah,
this ain't fun.
And so many showers.
Had just some sunscreen fun in there, too. It's always annoying when I'm helping people and they're like, oh, you smell nice. It's like, really? I smell like fucking sunscreen. It's like, who likes that smell? It's like, man. But yeah, it's been that kind of week. So luckily had some, my parents are doing a garage sale. So I've been going through a bunch of crap, old crap that, my mom has kept in these like plastic bins. I'm going through a lot of it. Most of it's like either I'm like, sell this because I haven't cared about it in so long. It's like random books and shit I had.
Mm-hmm.
I kept some of it because it's like Calvin and Hobbes books and Garfield books and whatever the other ones are.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. I was like, oh, yeah, I could use this. Like V for Vendetta, some of this other weird books. Some of it I'm just letting go because it's like, this is a random Star Wars extended universe book. It's like, I can get that on Amazon or Kindle pretty cheap. Anyway, not really hard up on reading the physical version of the book. Stuff like that. A lot of it's like, here's a dictionary. He's like, why the fuck would I want to keep a dictionary? I have Google to fucking pull up all the, that stuff. It's like, that made sense in the 90s when we didn't have that shit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff like that, but...
dated now.
Yeah. Some stuff I did keep was like the pre-order bonus for Mirror's Edge, which was the little messenger bag, I guess, that Faith carries in the game. I think I was like, ooh, I could... I've been wondering if I still had that at some point. Here it was, and so that's nice. And selling lots of old clothes and crap. It's like, I'm not going to wear them anytime soon. Or ever. There's a reason why it somehow ended up in this box of crap.
It's always true.
Yeah. So let my mom deal with all that and price it all, because I don't know what to charge for any of this shit. But, so that's been the fun little thing. Yeah, dealing with E3, setting up some of these live shows, and today particularly was frustrating because I had an issue where my mic was, or I was setting up stuff for the Ubisoft thing, and everything worked fine up until we went live, and then my mic decided to stop working. I had to restart the whole PC, that kind of annoying thing. I was like, why did you make this obvious like 10 minutes ago? I kind of restarted, we wouldn't have lost anything. All that kind of stuff. And it had similar thing for Devolver, where it decided not to respond to what I was doing, trying to get it to do.
Mm-hmm.
To set up for that. Luckily, all I had to do was just close it and open it back up, but it lost all the scene stuff I had done to set up. So that was fun.
Mm.
That kind of stuff, just making things more of a pain in the ass to do. So hopefully we should be better for tomorrow.
Mm.
But yeah, that stuff has gone up, I think. By now, the archives of us talking over that stuff with Dan Reb and Christian, and we had John on the Devolver one.
Mm-hmm.
So should have some more here over the next couple days, Sunday and Tuesday. We won't be doing Monday because people got to work. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's see. Been watching Sweet Tooth. I finished this first season. Ends on a note that is basically like, oh, I need to see where this is going, because this is what's going on here is fucking weird as hell. So let's,
mm-hmm.
let's get this shit done. So that's been fun. Things come to a head at the end as like storylines start intertwining and all that.
Mm.
So that's fun. Not sure what I'm going to watch next, but maybe the I forget what the recent Netflix big comic thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
Invincible? No. That's not Netflix.
Something
that's Amazon Prime.
I forget what it is, but it's something. But yeah, as for games, finished up Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus on Wednesday, streaming it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that was nice to get it done in time. Ends pretty nicely as the Dimensionator is broken at the end,
mm-hmm.
which prompts me to play Rift Apart and wonder, because I think it's not really a spoiler because it happens pretty quickly, but Clank decides to fix it up, turn it into a gun, so he can go help Ratchet find his family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, shit goes haywire when a big baddie decides to interrupt what's going on.
Mm.
So I'm like, why the fuck would you do this and not tell anybody? Clank, it's all your fault. But yeah, I've been playing Rift Apart, and that game is pretty great.
Mm.
Might be the best of the series from what I've been playing so far.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of cool stuff, making use of the DualSense and all that. A lot of weapons have, you know, primary function when you pull down the right trigger, like halfway, then a secondary function. A lot of the grenade type weapons, you just pull down halfway to aim, and you can let go with pulling it all the way to throw it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So you don't necessarily have to Use the left trigger for aiming if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
We have, because of the new like platforming moves where you can wall run and dash around, mm-hmm. they've got more open levels and all that kind of stuff, which also means I am jumping into a lot of areas I'm not supposed to and getting that kind of hovering sort of animation, because it's like, you're not supposed to be here. How'd you get here, you stupid idiot? We need to find a way to push you out of this area, or what it'll do is like ding you a couple of HP and just reset you nearby. That kind of stuff. So you're not screwed over too much. But yeah, it's the story stuff seems really good so far. Maybe better than any of the previous games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to put more time into that so far. I've done a few levels. Yeah, it seems really good so far.
Mm.
Also got Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order on the PS5 because that thing went live yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which I played a bit of that, and that still is really good. It's not a like 100% polished version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one that loads faster, looks better, you know, all that kind of stuff. But immediately when I got started into it, I started having some weird animation bugs where enemies started, you know, just acting weird, especially when you're just throwing them around mm-hmm. With the force powers, that kind of stuff. Or just doing the weird double jump stuff I have access to. Where it's like, oh yeah, this game is a lot of fun. It also has the inability to deal with all the abilities that you have. You're combining them at times.
Mm.
Nothing really caused it to like crash or anything, but just your character or others will animate weirdly when you're messing with them. So that's pretty fun. And Final Fantasy VII Remake for PS5 also went live.
Mm-hmm.
So I also got that. Paid the $20 for the expansion, the intergrade. No, the intermission, I think it's called. I think the whole version's called intergrade. Because Square Enix can't just name things normally. They have to make it all weird. But yeah, the game loads pretty fast. It looks really nice. Runs well, does all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it, but I'm still pretty early into it. I think I am like 8 hours in on that.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the whole sequence where you run into the like mutated insects, animals, enemies
mm-hmm.
That made nests in some of the train tunnels, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
I had fun running into one area where there were tables in there that are weightless. So when you run into them, they just start flying around. And it got stuck on Barret's head for a bit. So just him animating and the tables just like flopping around on him
mm-hmm.
in a fun way. So there's some fun stuff there. And also played some Godfall for the PS5. And this game's not been treated well by me because I installed it. Played through like the first level or so, the mission there, then deleted it to make room for Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's the disc I got from Gamefly. I kept it in. So then I made room for Ratchet and Clank. After it got installed, after Godfall got installed again, deleted it so it made room for Ratchet and Clank. Then it got installed again, and I deleted it again for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Now it's installed again, I guess. Apparently it doesn't need as much space as I thought, but it's all right. It's kind of a action RPG, kind of seeming like it wants to be like a Destiny or something like that.
Yeah.
But focused more on melee attacks, kind of having more action-style combat than your typical kind of Destiny game.
Mm.
You know, having your combos and all sorts of options as you sort of level up, get skill points, you can unlock more moves to kind of flesh out your moveset, kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so all right that I'm not like as jonesing to play it as, you know, the other three games that came out this week on the PS5.
Yeah.
That have basically drowned my chances or interest in playing it anymore, so I might send it back. It's like, I've had enough of this. I did the one thing. I think their Gearbox had a stream today, so they might have announced like the next big update for it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it also got announced for PS4, so we'll probably talk a little bit about that on day zero. But that's been pretty much it for me. Brandon, how about you?
Yeah. So as for me, well, I have been playing this other game that I can't really say out loud so far because I'm currently under review embargo. But I got the review code, and so I've been playing it for the last few days. Can't say what it is yet until, you know, I can get my review out and that embargo is lifted. But other than that, I've also been playing No Man's Sky still. and, you know, I've gotten to the point now where I've actually managed to track down Atlas and have gotten into that whole part of the story where, you know, you're going to various interfaces where Atlas is and, you know, getting those little orbs or whatever and picking up like bits and pieces of its language, stuff like that. And yeah, that whole part of the story is a friggin' it's bizarre. Because it suggests a lot of things that kind of make me feel like the game kind of knows it's a game.
Yeah.
And seems to also, it like, okay, so like, this is pretty much like another thing that happened that already I had started to think about, because once your base building has gotten to the point where you need to like, actually start finding people to actually like work at various stations in your base. Obviously it happens in order. So, you know, you can't, you know, get a armorer without first getting like an overseer and a guy who's doing the science stuff. So when you end up having to turn people down, on occasion you'll get stuff like, you know, them replying like, but you don't understand, the contract has only been signed, I'm always going to be here. And I'm like, wait a second, have we met before? Or something, you know, that kind of feeling. And also there's been stuff like, for example, the Korvax. The Korvax are one of the alien species that you come in contact in this game, and they're basically... they're machines, basically. They're basically a race of robots. And
like Daft Punk robots.
Yeah, basically. In various forms. And they seem to suggest a lot, like, they kind of also know that something up is happening in the background. That, you know, if you're a filthy organic, you probably wouldn't understand. And, yeah, like, I'm seriously wondering, is this some kind of... is this like one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is you're like inside a simulation or something. But other than that, I mean, yeah, the game is still very addictive, very fun. I got a flying mount finally.
Yeah.
That I tamed, so I don't have to, you know, constantly have to, you know, I can actually, like, ride them now and don't have to, like, constantly worry about, you know, having to deal with, like, gas and carbon energy and stuff for, like, my roamer. Speaking of which, I finally have, like, the formula and all the materials to build that, mech suit that you can get.
Yeah.
But the problem is I have yet to, yeah, I hear you, Coconut, I hear you. I have yet to get to the point where I can like hire a person to look over my exocraft stuff, so I can't actually build a mech yet.
I don't think I had to do any of that.
I got the thing to like build an exocraft like platform, but I don't have the exocraft platform that'll let you build the mech yet.
Okay.
Which I still have to figure out how to do.
You might have to unlock it on the anomaly. ship?
Yeah, I might have to go to the anomaly
with
and
those,
like find blueprint.
The buried modules you have to find.
The nanite. Yeah,
no,
not the nanite. The tech points or whatever they're called. Yeah, where you have to like
in that back room.
Yeah, which I've gone back there a few times. I'll have to go back there and look because as far as I can see, like for like exocraft like research back there, the only ones I've been finding is like stuff that you can buy to attach to your exocraft, like you know the new tech or stuff like a scanner.
There should be multiple categories.
There probably is, and you know, again, this is one of the issues.
Like I said before, look it up on the wiki.
Yeah, like I've said before, if I have one issue with this game is that it kind of is it makes its mechanics very esoteric when you're first starting out, and its HUD isn't really particularly good either. In hindsight, considering the just sheer amount of things that you can do in this game, that was already going to be a bit of a minefield for the developers. Because just alone, like, all the stuff that you can build at your base and, you know, the ability, you know, because, I mean, like, when you're building stuff, and it's not like Minecraft where, you know, you get, like, a whole menu that you can just go on and click through. No, it's... They got that thing where it's like, you know, you got to push up on the D-pad and then go. And then, you know, it's like, do you want to make some tech or do you want to make a house thing or do you want to, like, you know, specialty stuff? And you got to go through tech. It's like, is it portable? Okay, is it portable? Is it going to be for, like, industry or what? You know, it takes time to get used to that kind of thing. And especially when it comes to the research stations over at the anomaly, which by itself also doesn't really do a whole lot to steer you in the direction of where you need to go. It kind of expects you to sort of look around and find out for yourself.
Yeah, I think some of that is just the nature of the way they added things.
Mm-hmm.
That you probably know a lot more about things you can do, but not necessarily how you build to that point.
Yeah, I think it might also just be, I mean, the nature of the way they've upgraded the name. I mean, they've upgraded the game over the years because the game first came out, it was very much an underwhelming experience for a lot of people because a lot of the promised features weren't there. And since they've gone back and have basically patched it to the point where it's now pretty much how they originally sold the game, they kind of had to add in those building blocks sort of after the fact and hopefully not do it in such a way that it would completely crash everything that they had built up to that point. So yeah, I can understand why some of their mechanics don't really explain themselves as well as they probably could. Anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope.
Alrighty then. Well, in that case, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And about what I said earlier in the show, I said that was sort of a preview for what was going to happen for Brandon's Random Factoid. Not going to be this week, though, because I still need to kind of do a little bit more research on it. So instead, I thought we'd talk about just one of those weird bits of history. And it has to do with, well, it has a lot to do with what various cultures consider to be, shall we say, romantic. And like how cultural conflicts, when they happen, can happen in very bizarre ways, especially when, you know, say, cultural ideals seem to hold themselves up when the individual that you're dealing with is clearly off their rocker. Teresa, since you're the resident woman here, let me ask you, You've been married to Scott how long now?
It will be 25 years this month.
25 years. All right.
In a handful of days.
In a handful of days. Awesome. Okay. So did Scott do anything like extra romantic when he proposed to you, or was it like a very utilitarian affair?
No, we actually didn't do that at all. We just agreed upon it.
So y'all, I guess y'all had just sort of been like going out for a while, and it was like, yeah, maybe we should just find and put a tie a knot around this and make it official. Was that the case, or?
Yeah. So his parents would stop harassing us. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You know, Southern Baptist.
Yes, I do. So I'm going to tell you the story about a gentleman who took the concept of grand romantic love and gestures to really their illogical extreme in such a way that it's one of those stories that it pops up every now and then. That you'll hear about in, you know, those like stories of like weird history or strange facts about the state of so-and-so. And let's be honest, there's really no other state that does that better than, well, the state of Florida. And specifically, this one is in, I think it's, well, it's in Florida. And it has to do with a gentleman who was not American. He was actually German. He was German-born. He moved to the U.S. sometime later after the I think it was First World War. Yeah, it was after the First World War. His name was Carl Tanzler. He also went under the name Count Carl von Kossel. He was a radiology technologist at a Marine Hospital Service in Key West, Florida. Which by itself is not, you know, unusual or anything. Like, you guys know what, like, radiology is or radiographer is, right? It's just it's the person who does the x-rays. That's what it is.
Yep.
Anyway, the story about Mr. Tanzler here goes like this. He grew up in Imperial Germany. Some point before the outbreak of World War I, he ended up in Australia. Then he made his way sort of through different places. Apparently, as the Great War happened, and they found him in Australia, they thought he might be a spy. He wasn't, but he was just there. So he ended up getting locked into Trial Bay Jail, which he then managed to escape by secretly building a sailboat, and then somehow he managed to do that and return to Germany. Then, in 1926, he decided to go to the United States, first by going to Havana, Cuba, and then going up into the state of Florida. And then he ended up in Key West, where he worked as a radiologist at a U.S. Marine hospital. Well, around this time, he came in contact with a young Cuban woman by the name of Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. She was, by all accounts, a very beautiful-looking Latino woman. She had the dark, long, dark, curly hair. She wore a flower in her ear, you know. And as you can imagine, Tanzler immediately took after her. And the reason he took after her was because he had apparently been seeing her in visions while he slept, which is like, but considering, you know, the time and place it was in, people thought, oh, that's so romantic. But here's the problem. See, Maria was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And, well, if you know anything about this time period, you know that tuberculosis was still very fatal. And immediately, like, once you get tuberculosis, there is no going back. It will eventually kill you. So, Carl Tanzler, when he came upon this woman and found out he has tuberculosis, he went to her family and he's like, look, I'm a doctor. I think I might be able to treat and cure her. Again, He was a radiologist. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't have traces of other medical training. Because, you know, when you're doing medical training, you kind of have to get, like, the basics and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I'm a coder, and I basically had to go through a sort of med school, cram school type thing when I was studying for it. But again, radiologist, not a proper physician other than that. So he tried to use like a bunch of electrical equipment and x-rays and quack medicines and stuff. And of course, while this was happening, he also showered her with gifts of jewelry and clothing. He even supposedly professed his love for her. Whether or not it was reciprocated is not known. Unfortunately, being that she was tubercular, as you can imagine, it did eventually claim her life, and she ended up dying in her parents' home in 1931. Chancellor was, of course, quite distraught. He paid for her funeral, and he, with the permission of his families, her family, he then commissioned the construction of an above-ground mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery.
I can imagine above-ground cemeteries are fairly common there.
Yeah, he would visit it almost every night, which, okay, again, time, place, period, you know, this guy was really infatuated with her, you know, family kind of thought it was super romantic and everything. Okay, in the modern era, we'd probably look at this and like, okay, that might be red flag number two, but yeah, at the time, no, they thought, okay, you know, they were like, go ahead, do it. And this is where the story goes off the deep end. And I'm reading this directly from Wikipedia. One evening in April 1933, Tansler crept through the cemetery where Elena was buried and removed her body from the mausoleum, carting it through the cemetery after dark on a toy wagon and transporting it to his home. He reportedly said that Elena's spirit would come to him when he would sit by her grave and serenade her corpse with a favorite Spanish song. He also said that she would often tell him to take her from the grave. Oh, it gets worse. So, Chancellor, now that he had the corpse in his possession, he attached the bones together with piano wire and fitted the face with glass eyes. As the skin of the corpse decomposed, Chancellor replaced it with silk cloth soaked in wax and plaster of Paris. As the hair fell out of her scalp, Chancellor fashioned a wig from her hair, which he had previously obtained from her mother. Again, cultural.
Yeah.
He then filled the corpse's abdominal and chest cavity with rags to keep the original form, dressing her remains in stocking, jewelry, and gloves, and kept the body in his bed. Chancellor also used copious amounts of perfume, disinfectants, and preserving agents to mask the odor and forestall the effects of the corpse's decomposition. He managed to do this until 1940.
So wait, how many years was that?
He got the corpse in 1933.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so in 1940, one of Elena's sisters had heard rumors that Tansler was sleeping with the disinterred body of her sister. And for whatever reason, she was like the one person in this family who was like, you know, now that I think about it, this dude's behavior was really strange. So she actually went over to Tansler's home, and guess what?
Rumors were right.
He caught her dancing with the corpse in front of an open window. She then notified the police. Tansler was arrested. He was psychiatrically examined and found mentally competent to stand trial on the charge of, quote, wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. Just going to gonna put this in the chat here. That's what the corpse looked like when they found it.
No.
Yeah, it's like nope. Now
so
here,
no.
Yeah, he as you can probably guess, was of course
committed?
He wasn't so much committed, but he was arrested and jailed, and eventually he was deported back to Germany because, guess what happened? 1941, Japanese Pearl Harbor, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't stay there, though. He eventually made his way back to Florida, but he never was able to get in contact with Elena or her family again, and he basically died in obscurity in 1952 at the age of 75. Oh, yeah, did I mention...
Did he publish memoirs or anything?
No. The reason we know about all this stuff is because this became a huge freaking news story when it happened. It just got completely overshadowed by what happened on December 7th, 1941.
Yeah.
So, like, all of this we know is collected from, like, you know, testimony that he gave, records that were able to be sort of put together after the war ended. You know, testimony from the police, from Elena's family, all this other stuff. There's also been like a bunch of books and stuff that have been written about it. And Tanzler himself, as it happens, actually did write an autobiography, but it was published in Fantastic Adventures, which was a rather notorious pulp magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He did actually get American citizenship in 1950. And since he was no longer able to actually have Elena herself, he created a life-sized effigy of her with a death mask. Now here comes the part of the story that you're probably wondering, even though you probably don't want to admit it, but it's in the back of your head.
Oh, he totally did.
Since he kept this woman's corpse with him for, let's see, 7 years... and he was obviously romantically and infatuated with this woman. Did he do what you think he did?
Yep.
And the answer is, unfortunately, yes, he did. Two of the physicians who attended the 1940 autopsy of Elena's remains recalled in a 1972 interview that a vaginal tube had been inserted in the vaginal area of the corpse that allowed for intercourse. Yeah. Yeah. So that was Carl Tanzler. And that was one of those stories from history that makes you go, ugh. Yeah.
Don't listen to this while eating, folks.
Yeah. Seriously. This is also one of those things that actually has, like, an exhibit at, like, Ripley's Believe It or Not at that museum they have in Florida.
Yeah, where, I bet it does.
Where they have, like, a recreation of him, you know, treating the corpse. Yeah. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. You didn't know it before, and you probably kind of wish you still didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. Now it is time for everybody's... for the next part of the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to start with the asshole of the week. And our assholes of the week begins with Senator Joe Manchin, who announced opposition for the People Act even after a meeting with civil rights leaders.
Yeah, he decided to, like, brag about his opposition to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that was pretty weird, so that's when they had the meeting with civil rights leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's like, yeah, that was nice, but still no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
weird.
Ugh. Yeah. Which is like he was still saying things like, let's see, I think it was something to the effect of like, oh, it's still illegal to, you know, deny people the right to vote because of their race, whatever. And it's like, you know, they don't have to explicitly do it by their race.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Because there's many other ways of doing it without calling that out.
Yeah.
And Republicans are trying to do that as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. And, like, people I've been wondering is, like, for the longest time now, is, like, what is this guy's deal? Because, like, people expect, like, okay, he's a Democrat who got voted in West Virginia. West Virginia is a famously conservative state.
Yeah.
So obviously, to be a successful Democrat in West Virginia, you'd have to be fairly conservative in order to actually win there. And that seems to be, at first, for a long time, to be the case with Joe Manchin, because he's been there for, in the Senate for, like, quite a while now.
Yeah.
And, but after, you know, the COVID hit, and he kept, like, keeping on this, like, hardline approach, even when, like, the majority of his own voters in his own district in the state of West Virginia and even the state's own governor were like, yeah, we could really use a lot of that help that the Biden administration is offering us. And he still was like, no, no, man, I don't think I'm okay with this. And people were like, what is it that you're afraid of? You know, it's like, what is it that is making you act like this?
Yeah.
And now we kind of know why.
Yeah.
Because this week we discovered that it kind of looks like Joe Manchin turned around and is funded by Coke Money Dollar. By the Coke. We say Coke Brothers, it's brother. Because one of the brothers died last year.
Finally.
But, yeah. The Coke Industries, in other words. But, yeah, that's...
together as... a unit against many progressive parts of things that are happening in the country.
Yeah. And,
you know, which is.
Apparently, he is deep, deep, deep drowning in the dark money.
Yeah, which conveniently, this bill is railing against that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they could get him on board, you know, that's an easy way to kill it because it's. You're going to keep them from getting 50 votes on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would then push them, the Republicans, to enact the filibuster.
Yeah.
Which would then push the Democrats to kill the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually start, you know, getting these things passed.
Yeah.
Because these are incredibly stupid rules that block things that the majority of the country supports. Both sides, even on a number of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't pass because the minority party has the ability to use this weird rule to say, well, now you need 60 votes.
Yeah.
Instead of 50 to pass anything. Meaning unless you somehow, like I saw a good tweet sort of about this saying, you know, I'm not going to put out this fire until you can get 10 arsonists to... join us to help us put out this fire.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what you're trying to do. You know, he continually tries to push this bipartisan thing. And it's like, how many times do the Republicans have to say, fuck you?
Yeah.
Every time you try to get them on a reasonable side till you say, you know what? Fuck these idiots. They're not interested in doing anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where some of the Biden admin bipartisanship is kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
Because they're so intent on bipartisanship that they're losing the good parts of their bills and such that they want to pass.
Mm-hmm. And their time. You know, they have a limited amount of time here. And Seth Meyers laid it out the other night, and he's absolutely right. The only thing that McConnell and his ilk are doing is running out the clock on Biden and Harris's time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Essentially the Obama strategy.
Yep.
Yeah.
All over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you need Biden to wake up and say...
enough. You
know, get the Dems, Nancy and Chuck Schumer, to realize what is going on, that they need to start passing... these bills, and with part of that is let's just fucking either get rid of the filibuster altogether or alter it to be something that's actually not a instant kill move.
Yeah.
So they can't just like, oh, we just won't have 10 people show up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they can hit 60.
Yeah.
It's the only times that Republicans vote for Democrat bills is when they can enact the filibuster and you're like, who cares which of you flip to the other side because you're not going to get 60.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're fine with 5 or 6 of you flipping if it's only going to further their bipartisan thing that they want to push. So I need them to act smarter, if not get Chuck Schumer replaced as the majority leader in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Get somebody else that will do the right thing.
Yeah. But, yeah. And anyway, unfortunately, the Dems are not really helping themselves at all here, because Ilhan Omar ended up dropping a truth bomb, and a bunch of the Democratic establishment did not like it.
So what happened? Because I totally missed this.
Yeah. Okay,
so here's the thing. They were having a... let me see if... They were having like a seminar to talk to somebody from... where is it at? Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was asking about where he stands on victims of human rights abuses worldwide, whether he believes that they can pursue justice given the Biden administration's opposition to the International Criminal Court, failure of national courts to investigate alleged war crimes from a variety of places, U.S., Israel, Hamas, and Taliban, and some other stuff like that, other groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it is. We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. Mentioning, the U.S., Israel, Hamas, Taliban, all that, which, of course, the people arguing bad faith will say she is, equating them all as the same. Which is not. She's acknowledging that we have done things that can be considered war crimes. We conveniently get away with them most of the time. And acknowledging the stuff that happens, with Israel.
Yeah.
Especially recently.
Mm-hmm.
As well as things that Hamas has done in the past and all that, as well as obviously the Taliban, because that's the one group outside of ISIS that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like 12 House Dems that are Jewish put out a statement, claiming that her comments are like giving cover to terrorist groups. Ignoring the difference between democracies governed by the rule of law and contemptible organizations that engage in terrorism at best discredits one's intended argument. At worst reflects deep-seated prejudice.
We're doing this crap,
for clarification. And then the sort of leadership of the House Dems, Nancy Pelosi and her crew, also issued a statement, a rare one that they usually don't do, warning her about false equivalencies and this kind of stuff, but inviting her to, clarify what she's talking about. Of course, she said the thing that she meant that anybody that's reasonable would understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, let's see. Yeah, one of her aides is saying the far right is chinning up hate against Rep. Omar for a technical question about an ongoing investigation. This has already led to an increase in death threats against her and our staff, and now some of her own Democratic colleagues are chinning up the same Islamophobic hate against her.
Mm-hmm.
You got Lauren Boebert tweeted on Tuesday that Omar was, quote, an honorary member of Hamas and a terrorist sympathizer, which is obviously not the case. She's a fucking refugee because of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her family had to leave their country before because of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Lauren Boebert is a big fan of the QAnon terrorism shit.
Yeah. She's just the stupidest of the stupid.
Yeah.
And so, she put out.
That would be Green. Boebert is second stupid.
I mean,
we got contenders there, for this.
Yeah.
With the person that is widely considered the dumbest.
We have brackets, in Congress. In other words.
We got to do a tier list at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... And she's, clarify what she was talking about.
Yeah.
But you know how this goes.
Yeah.
The original comments and the bad faith framing and removal context are going to get a much bigger reach than her clarifications, saying things that reasonable people would understand.
Yeah.
And finally, in the length of bullshit. State of Florida has officially banned critical race theory from its schools. Now, before we go any further, I need to point out this. You would not hear about CRT in grade school anyway, because CRT is something that is largely relegated to the academic and legal field.
Yeah, it's... But the thing here is the GOP is essentially trying to gaslight everybody on what this concept is so that nobody can talk about it in a reasonable context.
Yeah, that's
what they've been doing with pretty much any buzzword that the left has come up with. You know, mm-hmm. defunding the police, that's been drilled into the ground to mean a variety of things other than the thing it actually means.
Yeah.
Which is to, you know, remove their ability to purchase, you know, military weapons and
mm-hmm.
stuff that they do not need to pull people over and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Critical race theory is just a general concept of acknowledging that race has played a part in the way the economy in this country and society and all this has been built since the 1600s. Yeah.
And more specifically, it is a sort of movement in the academic and legal field, specifically about how law in the United States has formed on that basis and how it affects communities of color. So again, it's like that whole sort of cultural Marxism conspiracy theory.
Because nobody knows what that actually means.
Yeah, it's a buzzword based on something that's actually really inane.
And at least the good thing about these laws is that they had to be so vague about what they're doing that they're not necessarily
easily enforceable
in the way that they are stating this stuff.
And of course, it also
has... this is all free speech.
Yeah, and also it has that weird Streisand effect where you're like, okay, what is this CRT thing that everybody's saying I'm not supposed to learn in schools?
Those are what we used to play video games on. But yeah, it's a thing that you probably would not learn about until...
Until you were like in your...
College.
Not even high school. And even in high school, you would have... Some,
depending on what sort of school you're in or...
Yeah, I mean, if you're in like one of those like school for the gifted, you might learn about it. Or if you're taking
AP classes and
stuff. Or if you're, you know, you're matriculating, you know, up a grade or two, you might learn about it. But honestly, for most people, you wouldn't hear about it until you're like in your second year of college.
Yeah. Because like this thing specifically mentions like, oh, the topics must be factual and objective. Which like they are. That's the whole point is these are research. Academic research into these topics.
Yeah.
On these,
and let me tell you something about academic research. If you're not a person who is actually like trained in interpreting academic language, you would not be able to make heads or tails of any of it.
Yeah, that's why they're
at all.
That's why the things like the 1619 project, that again is done by actual people that are experts in these fields.
And for the record,
make it something that people can understand.
And for the record, there are some good criticisms that have been made of the 1619 project in certain places.
Yeah.
But
you see people just mad about it in general.
Yeah.
Because they're probably racist and benefit from these systems that have been built up in their favor.
Yeah. It's the politics of resentment, basically. Fortunately, it's not all bad news. We also had some heroes of the week, and this is especially some good news for some friends I know who live overseas. The Biden administration will be purchasing 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine to donate to the world's poorest countries with no strings attached. I have some friends, both expats and natives, who currently live in Vietnam, who are very happy about hearing this news. Because the vaccine rate, I mean... It's not that nobody wants to get the vaccines in Vietnam. The hesitancy rate in Vietnam is like 2%. It's just that the amount of vaccines they have available, there's only like 0.7 vaccines per person. So, you know, And, you know, the country has had the disease reintroduced into their borders like twice. Well, actually, not even twice, three times now. Yeah. The most recent outbreak is because they had said on the news, they said it was because of a group of Christian missionaries. And I actually looked into it deeper. It's like, no, it's actually Mormons. It was some Mormon missionaries that they've sort of traced to where the disease ended up getting reintroduced.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is good news.
Yeah, and it's going to, as part of the G7 summit that is going on, other leaders being like, you know, it's nice to have somebody that's actually interested in being a partner here instead of just stomping around all the time.
Yeah,
it is good news, but I had a coworker complain about it to me, and it was just the most petty thing. Well, guess who's going to be paying for all those vaccines? You know what? I'm pretty sure you can afford the $3 that it might possibly cost.
It's,
you know,
the total cost is $3.5 billion.
Yeah,
right.
There's over, let's see, how many people are in the U.S.? Like over 300 million.
Yeah, right.
Costs like $3 per dose. Maybe you're spending about
like $10. But
yeah, per person. But let's be honest. Yeah.
You get taxed so much from your work that it's a drop in the bucket compared to other ways that it gets used.
Mm-hmm. And the devaluation of human life that came along with that complaint just...
Yeah.
It disgusted me. Yeah. I was absolutely revolted.
It's like, we've already lost enough people. We would because you lose enough people, and guess what? The economy and all that can just take a crap.
Yeah.
So easily if we lose, you know, tens of millions of people because they couldn't get access to this stuff any sooner. And these aren't taking vaccines away from other countries as far as like ones that have already been paid for and ones are new vaccine shots being produced. So there's almost no downside to it.
Yeah.
Pretty much no downside.
And it gets you a lot of foreign goodwill. So.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the fact up to this point, not just the U.S., but really kind of the global north in general had been kind of hoarding all the vaccines to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, so much, there was a point where, like, basically, like, materials were basically being pirated. Like, literally from, like, the high seas. People were, like, you know, governments had boats out there that were straight confiscating shit from people's boats for use within their borders. Yeah. But, yeah, so, good. Good thing. Hopefully it'll reach all the people who need it and very soon. And our other hero of the week is a young lady by the name of Darnella Frazier. The young woman who was responsible for filming the murder of George Floyd by the former officer Derek Chauvin. She won an honorary Pulitzer Prize this week.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, not the most amazing way for her to win something like this, but it's an important thing that she did.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
She received a $15,000 award for the citation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as she said, even though this was a traumatic, life-changing experience for me, I'm proud of myself. If it weren't for my video, the world wouldn't have known the truth.
Yep, that's right. And I mean, she was only 17 when she made that video, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She was pretty young. And like, yeah, I mean, like, she is like that dude who was just, you know, he was at a buddy's like party at his apartment, and he just so happened to move his camcorder over, and holy shit, there's the cops beating up Rodney King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she was just right there. She just so happened to be there. Yeah. But all right. Yeah, so with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the proper show proper. And Our first story for the night is that the Food and Drug Administration has approved a new and controversial drug that is meant to treat Alzheimer's. And I believe part of the controversy with this has to be with the insane price, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, but it's also sort of how rushed this was.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that actually cures it or does anything really amazing against it. It slows the decline.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like I think a couple years ago it was deemed like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of an amazing turnaround. But there's plenty of people that are sort of skeptical of how much testing and such
mm-hmm.
has been done with this thing to verify that, you know, how much good it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's, you know, something that should be made available to people.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is also that there are some high costs for this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think something...
$58,000 a year?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think I saw some of the people are part of the committee that were approving this. Like, some of those people straight up just resigned as a result of this thing getting pushed through.
Hmm.
That kind of thing. So, yeah, it's... I think something like, hopefully it actually works as well as it is being said it will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is a big, big issue that will have to be looked into.
Mm.
In depth.
Mm.
Can't be promoting false hope like this.
Uh-huh. Next up, in a story that is just so... to 2021 in just ways, every possible way. Jeff Bezos, the creator and CEO, well, I don't think he's necessarily CEO anymore, but the guy behind Amazon is going to space in first crewed flight of his company's rocket ship on July 20th.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is 15 days after he is set to resign as CEO of Amazon. Mm-hmm. His younger brother, Mark Bezos, is also going to be on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've auctioned off other seats on the flight, which went for like $38 million, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be a hell of a rich flight there.
Mm-hmm.
The average net worth of everybody on the flight, probably one of the highest ever, if not the highest.
Yeah.
On any sort of, I don't know. Space flight of any kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, wow.
Huh?
Uh-huh. That's uh-huh. Like, it's like all of 2021 wrapped up into one story.
Yeah.
You got obscenely wealthy individual, you got private rockets, you got space flight. It's just wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the weird thing is, I don't know if you've ever seen what his brother looks like.
I have.
Which he looks like a clone.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't shave his head constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Though he is bald, but
mm-hmm.
he has a, you know, like a scruffy beard all the time from the photos I've seen.
Yep.
So it's like, man, that's some bad genes and good luck that goes on in my family.
Yeah. All right. Next up, the country of El Salvador became the first country in the world to approve Bitcoin as legal tender. Yeah.
This is a whole weird thing. I think part of it is their president is a millennial,
mm-hmm.
as they call him.
He is
very much pushing a lot of legislation that, you know, appeals more to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is followed up by a plan that they're going to be using energy that they mine from volcanoes to power the data centers
mm-hmm.
needed for the mining and such for this
yeah.
stuff. Which is cool, a hell of a thing actually. To be saying.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I admire his ambition, if nothing else.
But, yeah, it's... a very risky thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they mentioned the International Monetary Fund quickly flagged economic and legal risk to the unprecedented use of Bitcoin in this small economy.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's because the IMF is like full of old money. They don't like, you know, poor countries potentially getting rich.
Honestly, from what I have heard, that's probably the big reason.
It's like they don't like being shown up by new tech, especially if it's Bitcoin.
And they especially don't like it when it's from a country from what's basically the global south, which they largely rely on as their labor caste, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see where that goes. And next up, yeah, here we go. Congressman Louie Gohmert. He asked the USFS. What's the USFS?
The Forest Service.
He asked the U.S. Forest Service about, I cannot believe I'm saying this, changing Earth's orbit to combat climate change.
Yeah, hey. He was talking to Jennifer Eberlein, Associate Deputy Chief of the National Forest System, during a House Natural Resources Committee hearing, saying, I understand from what's been testified to the Forest Service and the BLM, that's not Black Lives Matter, it's Bureau of Land Management. You want very much to work on the issue of climate change. Is there anything the National Forest Service or BLM can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, they would have profound effects on our climate. And she, kind of not knowing how to respond to that sort of question, saying, I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert. Well, if you figure out a way that you in the Forest Service can make that change, I'd like to know. Which is like, this is a Futurama episode, if you remember.
It is. It legitimately is. There's actually like...
It's one about where they, what they did previously is they went to some sort of ice planet and sort of, you know, cut out a gigantic ice cube and dropped it into their oceans to cool things down.
Yeah, and they did that then, for like years on end, and then finally it got to the point where the cube needed was just too large, so they finally had to...
Well, and there was a whole thing with a big... So what they... one of the things they also did is they put all of their trash into like a giant ball and shot it out with the rocket. And eventually it was coming back and going to destroy the Earth.
Yeah.
So, well, this was... No, this was a different episode.
But no, this one, you got it pretty right, because basically what they ended up doing is that in the process of solving that issue, they ended up slowing the Earth's orbit a minuscule enough degree that it would basically offset the issues of climate change for another 1,000 years.
And it's an episode called Crimes of the Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go to Halley's Comet, find out it's out of ice. Mm-hmm. So they go to the conference in Kyoto with top scientists, so there's Wernstrom's there. Use the giant mirror to deflect 40% of the sun's rays, but a stray asteroid causes to reflect the rays into a highly destructive beam.
Yeah.
That so Farnsworth's idea was robots with their high pollution emissions are the cause of the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to, I think,
they put send them to one spot like to destroy island. Them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's about, yeah, that whole they, thing. Go ahead.
And they kind of use their... Or they put them all in one place, so they're kind of polluting, but with like a very high flammability rate. So Bender ends up wanting to save them, ends up farting like a blast of fire that just pushes the Earth just enough that I think it's saving the robots from an EMP they were going to send to destroy all the robots.
Yeah. By the way, that thing about the big garbage thing that they wanted to shoot in the sun. Because if you remember in that episode, up to that point, that garbage had been put on like a barge and had basically been floating around the Atlantic for years and years and years.
Which is kind of also a thing that happens.
Yeah, the Morbo, the Mobro 4000. It became infamous in 1987 because it had basically been hauling the same load of trash for like 5 years up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, and the modern version of that is the way we export our plastic waste.
Yeah, we got
countries, then they want to send it back because it's too fucking much.
And it's gotten so bad that we now legit have like a garbage island in the
Well, that's separate at that point, but that's another thing of the hurricanes and tsunamis and that kind of shit have pulled out tons of plastic waste that's just kind of congealed into makeshift islands that are not real islands you could really stand on or anything, but they're solid masses of various bits of plastic waste and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, so we're saying
this Futurama is real.
Well, whenever people like this Gohmert guy start spewing that shit, and he went to Yale or Loyola or Harvard or something, I can't honestly believe that he's that dumb. What is he deflecting from? What news is he trying to push to the back burner? Because whenever this sensational shit comes out, that's the first thing I think. Maybe I'm super jaded. I'm super jaded.
The thing is, you can go to big schools like that, supposedly high.
Oh, sure. You can get through on your daddy's name. Yeah, no doubt.
You can definitely
no doubt.
Just being the money guy.
But stupid people generally let you know that they're stupid, throughout life. Yeah. It's something that they advertise without even knowing that they do. So is it taking away from the IRS leak news? What is this deflecting from? Because I can't help but think that this is a strategy.
Well, this is a committee thing.
Oh, I know.
They were doing anyway, so I don't know that it's necessarily deflecting. It's literally him just being coming up with some supposedly clever idea, writing down his notebook, oh, I got that meeting. I'm going to ask him about this shit. Because you remember Trump? You said a lot of shit.
Yeah, I do remember him, but we always knew he was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he got a lot of time to let it out, whereas Gohmert doesn't necessarily get a ton of time to publicly let people know how stupid he is.
I guess that's a point.
Yeah, it is. All right. And next up, we got this story here out of Boston, where a lobster diver was in the water and he nearly got swallowed whole by a humpback whale.
Yep.
Is that the same guy that was on Reddit and it showed him in the hospital room, in the hospital bed?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw where his allegedly his kid chimed in and was saying that his dad was just awed that everybody was really latching onto the story. And apparently this guy was in a little plane that crashed many years ago and everybody died except him.
Yep.
This is one lucky mofo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking why couldn't it have been Ben Shapiro? He would have actually died. Because he has no life skills. It would be the ultimate irony after he's why don't people that live in flooding areas sell their homes when the water goes up 10 feet?
Yeah.
What are they going to sell it for, Mr. Shapiro?
Who's going to want that?
Yeah, that's their whole government that buys it.
Who's going to buy it? Frickin' Aquaman?
Yeah.
Right, because unfortunately with the myth of the American dream, most Americans' net worth is completely and utterly tied up in the home that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the whole thing is we have the flood insurance that's backed by the government. So people that live in those sorts of areas that flood regularly, they just rely on that instead of it being a thing if you need flood insurance, maybe you should live somewhere where it's not going to flood all the damn time.
Yeah, that's rote when you're buying a house. Are you in a floodplain? We're definitely going to be checking that.
Yeah. But for some people, it's the government backs this thing, so I don't have to worry about any of it.
Yeah.
It's okay. I guess you don't also worry about people you like dying as a result of floods and losing things that are important to you.
Yeah.
It's no, we just put them high up on the shelves.
Yeah.
At least those wouldn't be areas that you would have a basement or something like that. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Yeah.
Hey, we're safe from the floods.
Mm-hmm.
up here. Brandon, you're maybe not.
Nope.
I've seen,
but I will at least get to retire on my oceanfront property in Atlanta.
Indeed, you probably will.
I mean, also Futurama's commented on this, the Secret of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Episode where they just become mermaids because they refuse to move from the yeah. city. Because mm-hmm. the Coca-Cola caused mutations.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Oh, God.
But, all right. Okay. With that out of the way, it's now time to part to the entertainment section of the show, which is 100% dominated by the Netflix's Geek Week streams. There's also a yep. stream that happened earlier yesterday.
Yeah.
But we got a bunch of new stuff coming out. So, yeah. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, so the first half of this is stuff tied. So these are all Netflix Geek streams. They just had them throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like 2.5 to 3 hours each. So I didn't want to watch them all. So I just got some of these summaries and pulled a lot of the interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So first one here, the next Mobile Suit Gundam series called Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway is coming exclusively to Netflix.
Yep.
Oh, big news.
That's a big deal. Especially for that franchise.
Coming with the live action film that Jordan Vogt Roberts is making.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is potentially like a soonish kind of thing.
Mm.
A lot of this stuff has, if it doesn't have a date, so it's like, oh, it's coming soon. Who knows what the fuck that means? But yeah, this fills in somewhere in the Mobile Suit Gundam timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, after Char's rebellion, Hathaway Noah leads an insurgency against Earth Federation, but meeting an enemy officer and a mysterious woman alters his fate.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
most of the people probably know exactly where that lands.
I do.
And everybody else is like, what? Char? What's Charizard doing here? But yeah, that's happening at some point here in the near future. Also happening pretty soon, Shaman King is coming back.
Yep.
Survived the four kids assault back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
This is one of the series that came out of that. Pretty decent series for what it was. I like the manga from Shonen Jump.
Yeah, I read it. I read it back when I was in high school.
Yeah, it's finally back as like a reformed kind of thing to redo it, and Netflix has picked it up. It's going to be starting August 9th.
Mm.
And trailer in the article here, and I linked it in the show notes, so you can check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good.
Oh yeah.
We got another one here called Eden's Zero
that
is also coming to Netflix August 26th. It's about a boy who can control gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Shaman King, you might be able to figure out, it's about shamans.
Yep.
The kind of Pokemon style fight each other to become the king of them all.
Yep.
And they have their own like elemental type stuff that goes with them and whatnot. Pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, there's Exception, a horror series. Maybe not necessarily notable on that point, but the thing that is interesting is the character designs are done by one Yoshitaka Amano, famed character designer for Final Fantasy.
At least for the first six games.
He's done a lot of like art for the series. Even
he does a lot of like logo stuff, and but...
So that's the big thing there if you're into that kind of art.
Mm-hmm.
This is more horror-oriented. So
definitely.
And that's there's Bright Samurai Soul, which you might be a little confused by because it's based on, you remember the Netflix film Bright with Will Smith and the weird ogre dude? Well, this is a anime film based on that same universe. I assume it's more like feudal Japan is a Izo, Ronin, and Raiden, an orc, working to bring a young elf girl and wand she carries to the land of the elves in the north.
Yep.
Basically the same plot, but anime.
Because they do not want to, you know, they sunk so much money into that first movie, and they're like, we can't let this die just yet.
And especially when they can make anime out of it, as we'll see in a lot of these bits here. I'm trying to look up who Kyohei Ishiguro is, because they mentioned him as the director for this. Trying to see what else he's done. Okay, he worked on Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
A bit. Let's see. Oh, he did storyboards for an episode of Mobile Suit Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans.
Yep.
So he's got some chops.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about being a full director. Some of this stuff might just be more Japan centric in terms of what he's put out, but.
Might be, yeah.
He'll get some work out here in the West as a result. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also mentioned here. There's Godzilla Singular Point, the next mm-hmm. anime thing from Netflix here.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be available June 24th. And so you can look at the tweet and see the trailer that they put out. Maybe not. Their links might be busted here on that one, but Google it if you need to.
Mm.
So there's that for like the during the week kind of stuff. There's also a trailer. Teaser trailer out now for Masters of the Universe Revelation,
mm-hmm.
The show that Kevin Smith worked on,
mm-hmm.
Which looks pretty nice.
Yep.
For what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it kind of still has some of the style of the original, but more modern and not shitty looking.
Yeah, the animation looks like it's actually, you know, wasn't just done, you know, the week before.
Had extra money to it.
Yeah, it looks like they, you know, the animation had some time to be done instead of, you know, like they just finished the previous week and they just handed the animation cells into studio like the day before it was broadcast.
Yeah. And here the rest is largely, well, this one down here, Yoko Kanno has been confirmed to be working on soundtrack for the Netflix Cowboy Bebop series.
Which is a live action series, yes.
Yeah. And that is... Like, they've also confirmed that she's doing new stuff as well as repurposing some of the music she composed for the original anime as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which the teaser that Twitter put out for that features the theme, opening theme for that.
Yep.
And said, I think, see you this fall.
Mm-hmm.
So suggesting this show will be out in the fall. So
sounds good.
You also get to see... John Cho in his spike hair, which mm-hmm. is pretty good. It's not dyed or anything, but it looks basically what you want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of big and bushy a little bit. So, so the rest of this here is from yesterday's show, which was more focused on video games because it was part of the Summer Game Fest.
Yep.
First thing, Cuphead Show.
Yep, there is a Cuphead show.
They showed the first bit of animation teasing who's voicing King Dice, which is mm-hmm. Wayne Brady. You get to see him sing a little bit there as he's mm-hmm. like introducing his weird little show
mm-hmm.
To get people, I guess, to make whatever commitments to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole part of that game.
Yep.
The animation looks nice. Wayne Brady's a good fit for that character.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we got an Ubisoft block. They announced the Far Cry anime. No real mm-hmm. details on what that means, like what particular games or whatever they are doing for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did announce a Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix show.
Oh, yeah. They're making a Blood Dragon anime.
Yeah, Blood Dragon. I think it's a regular show.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that seems pretty neat from the teaser they showed there, which isn't too much, but that's happening, as well as a Splinter Cell anime
mm-hmm.
that's being written by John Wick creator Derek Kolstad.
All right.
And it's they released a teaser image for that.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows like an older Sam Fisher there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the beard and all that, the graying beard, so it'll be a later stage Sam Fisher instead of like an origin story or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So no game for the people that want that.
Mm.
So that's the continued torment of those fans. Let's see. Yeah. Castlevania series, the first one ended.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced that there's going to be a second one. featuring Richter Belmont and Maria Renard.
Yep.
And this time they are set in, I think, the 1792 in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that kind of fun stuff. They initially like put out the tweet saying like, "Oh, he's the son of whoever it is. I forget." But then amended it to be like, "Great, great, 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 great grandson," you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
From the others to, I guess, push a bit more time in there because it's like set in 1792, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So many people like, it's not as close to the other one as you might think,
mm-hmm.
or the way the lineage is for the games stuff.
Mm.
So there's that. They announced a cast for the Resident Evil live action show that they're working on. The main highlight is that Lance Reddick is going to be Albert Wesker.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of a change of race there, but a great choice for the show.
Yep.
The rest of the cast they showed are just various women.
Mm-hmm. That announcement has, of course, made the usual suspects not happy.
Yeah, but also I'd be like, you know, almost none of the other movie or show stuff has been all that tied to the canon
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like those movies were following the script exactly.
No kidding.
And you survive that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be okay. And the last thing is kind of confirmation that there's going to be a WitcherCon.
Yep.
They showed a little bit of season 2, mostly centered around Ciri.
Mm-hmm.
You see a little bit of her in action, but saying that the WitcherCon would be happening on July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably get like an official trailer for season 2 and dates and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and maybe, I assume they're having this convention thing that they are going to also announce when the sort of PS5 and Xbox Series X versions of The Witcher 3 is going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would assume that's the other big news you would have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Of course, obviously, we'll have more stuff to talk about revolving around the Summer Games Fest on Let's Weekend. I mean, not Let's Weekend, which we're doing now, but the Day Zero update, which we'll be doing tomorrow night. But yeah.
So the only thing that won't be on that is like the stuff on Monday mm-hmm. and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Nintendo, Capcom, a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of shit, so
yeah,
you can deal with splitting it up.
Yeah, but yeah, so with that, I think we got ourselves a show, folks. That we do. We have a show. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not, just wait a few minutes, because as soon as we hear about its existence, we will inevitably be on there pretty much the moment we find out. We're always looking for new ways to spread our stuff. We're always looking for new ways to spread our unique disease.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
Spreading your stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Join us next week when we'll have more shit for you. And, yeah, for Chris Logie and Teresa Sammons, I'd like to say goodbye, good night, sleep tight, and if you haven't gotten vaccinated already, please go do it, because there are far too many people out there who desperately wish they had the opportunity that you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.